everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Talking Sense right here on Yachting International Radio. And of course, it's with Alistair Milroy of Breaking the Mold Accounting. How are you, Alistair?
I'm really well, Ria. How are you?
Good. It's been an interesting week, and the sun is shining and the med season is kicking off.
It is, yeah. It's certainly warming up here. I've got some travel this week, so heading over to your lovely island.
Is this going to be your busy season then?
Yeah, it's starting to get quite busy. Yachts are obviously gearing up for the season. And I mean, it's busy. Each time of the year is busy for different reasons.
So yeah.
Obviously, you've got people refitting. You've probably got more purchases, sales. This time of the year is busier because crew are coming back on. And you're getting to the end of getting yachts out of yards and settling up bills and all those sort of things. So, yeah, it's good.
Well, best to keep busy. At least you have the capability, yes. Right? Exactly. Today, we want to talk about VAT or value added tax. Now, I hate talking about tax because I just don't agree with it. I think that, the government charges us too much. The charges coming in, the charges going out, they charge us every which way they possibly can. And I still yet to have to see the results of, any of that tax to my benefit, but whatever, not political. How does VAT apply to the yachting sector?
It definitely applies. I mean, value added tax, just as an overview, is a consumption tax, I guess, and goods and services tax is another name for it in some areas. And in the EU, VAT applies for all member states. I think it's the only tax which is EU wide and actually managed centrally a lot of it. So when there is a central system of checking VAT numbers are correct, which people should use when they're checking invoice or checking suppliers VAT numbers to make sure they're valid. It's called VIES. And it does, it definitely applies. Particularly on hull, however, there are various exemptions and different rules that are there to encourage yacht owners to come and use their yachts in various member states.
In the chain, right from the yacht itself, I mean, right down to provisioning and everything, there is VAT that is applied and has to be paid.
Yeah, sure, there is. There's VAT on all your supplies generally, when you get an invoice with supplier. Now actually, and that's where probably the big distinction of how VAT applies is whether you're a pleasure vessel or a commercial vessel, because when you're pleasure, obviously you're not running a business, the yacht's being used as a personal asset, and therefore anything you buy tends to have VAT on it. And probably in terms of value, the biggest value, because we pay tax on our capital assets. When you buy a car or you buy a boat or a plane, you generally pay VAT. However, there are some exemptions for buying these assets that can be used to, so you don't have to pay VAT on the value of the yacht, as an example. Probably the first one is the temporary emission rules. So where someone's bringing their yacht in, where there are the owners, where the yacht's not registered or flagged in the EU, when the owner's not an EU resident, and when the principal users aren't EU resident, then you can bring your yacht in and under what they call a temporary emission scheme, which is effectively saying, look, we know you're not from the EU, you're not staying forever, so we won't charge you VAT on the value of the yacht when you come. In most countries, or EU level anyway, it's actually simply coming into the EU international waters limit of 12 miles is enough to claim temporary admission, but it is worth, member states all have different policies and procedures, so it is worth planning where you're going to come in on that basis. And under temporary admission, you can stay for 18 months. However, you must leave before the end of that 18-month period. You can come back in and restart another 18-month period. But if you overstay that 18 months, then you basically fall outside of the exemption. You could end up paying VAT on the hull or the value of the vessel, which would be a very expensive mistake to make. So it's important to know when you came in to keep proof of that and to make sure you leave at the end of the 18 months. Sure, you'll still pay VAT on all your expenses because you're a pleasure yacht, but you don't pay the VAT on the actual value of the yacht when you bring it into the EU.
So if you are set up as a business, because some yachts are set up as pleasure craft and other yachts are set up as business, and those would be the charter yachts. How does that apply then if that charter yacht, which is set up as a business, the owner is on board?
So commercial yachts, and again, there's different rules apply, but so commercial yachts can't use generally temporary emission, not overall. I think some member states have, but I think some member states do allow some chartering of temporary emission yachts, but it's not generally, that's for pleasure yachts. If you're operating commercially, you've got a commercial flag, so you've got to comply with all your commercial regulations on that side. You've got to have a full-time crew, but then there are still different rules for allowing you to not pay VAT on the value of the vessel, and then also use the claim some of the expenses back as well. But in that case, you're going down to your question on the owner coming aboard. If you're a commercial vessel, then all the use of that vessel should be commercially. So even if the owner, you know, the ultimate beneficial owner is coming aboard, he should be doing it at an arm's length charter through a charter broker with a contract, paying the charter fee for the yacht. Again, there's some nuances around that. Some flags allow pleasure to do a little bit of charter, Cayman being one with their yacht engaged in trade scheme. I'd say as a general rule, if you're commercial, then owners should also charter the vessel commercially to really preserve that structure.
It has become as clear as mud to me.
I mean,
this is why people need an accountant, because it is just, it's so confusing. And, you know, even for just a general person, I guess it's called GST in Canada and VAT in Europe, and other places have different names for it, but it's essentially the same tax straight across the face of the planet.
Yeah, it's very same. And really, it's a tax on your spending. So what generally happens with any VAT or GST scheme is when you buy goods, you pay as a business, you pay tax on those goods, particularly if it's within a country, or so your invoices come with VAT on it. And then when you invoice your services or sales out, you charge VAT. And at the end of each quarter, you look at what you've had import tax of and what you've got output tax, and the difference is what you pay to the government. That's in very simple terms what happens with VAT.
Well, seriously, like, that is essentially, it's a tax that is placed on each step of the product or service, isn't it? It's like, you know, it could go through five different people, and each time it's taxed, and then the ultimate beneficiary isn't necessarily the person that pays the VAT. It could be the guy in the middle.
But each if that was businesses to business, every one of those businesses who pays VAT to their supplier takes a credit for that VAT back.
Okay.
So you have your tax that you pay to your suppliers, which is at the end of the tax period, which is normally quarter. You'll take that tax and say, okay, I've invoiced out and I've collected tax from my customers of £100 or €100, and I've got suppliers' invoices which have 70 or, you know, whatever, €50 worth of tax on them. I'll then pay the difference between those to the government. So you don't pay, it's not being added cumulative each time. It's only when it gets to the end consumer, the customer who's not VAT registered, that there's no claim back of that input tax. So when it comes to a yacht owner, obviously with the value of a yacht, you know, if you're looking at 20% of you know, depending on where you are, between 18 and say 24% of VAT. It's a big, you're starting to talk big numbers. So yeah, some, both France and Italy run commercial exemption arrangements where you can bring your yacht in for chartering and you don't pay VAT on the hull, provided you meet certain rules. You still, when you charter, you have to collect tax on the charter income and pay that to the government each quarter. And you have to have a tax agent to do that in the country. And there's various rules. And I think the key with VAT is really record keeping. You have to have, you know, your invoices have to have the right information on them. Your supplier invoices have to also have, you know, they have to quote your VAT number. You need to have evidence of where the goods were supplied. And, you know, the date of purchase, and there's certain information that you must have there. Equally, there's declarations for yachts that are operating, which you need to make sure you've got, and you need to be able to prove that you've met some of the rules around how long, you know, trips that are outside of the EU, what they call high seas charters, to having log books of where you've been outside, and being able to prove that you've done, say, 70% of charters outside of the EU is really important.
So you talk about claiming some of this VAT back. How often is it that people miss opportunities to claim some of this tax back?
I think it can be quite regular because of it can be so complicated to know which numbers to use, you know, particularly if you're a yacht which is moving and chartering in different jurisdictions, and you might have three or four different VAT numbers. So knowing which one to use in which country and where to claim can be quite difficult. And again, there's different rules around that. That, you know, France now is you can go in a reverse charge, what they call a reverse charge mechanism. So you've got an import, but you are allowed to then, you know, you pay VAT on your goods and supplies, but you can reclaim it back so long as you're doing charter, you've got charter income in France. You've got to have the right record keeping, and yeah, there are, you know, on some of the larger yachts, there are exercises conducted to go through the records and go, have we missed anything? Because you're talking, you know, big sums of money to claim back. So
I guess once again, the moral of the story is hire an accountant.
Have good processes. Have, you know, someone looking at your invoices, making sure those right details are on. You know, it's too late if you go to your fiscal agent to put your VAT return in and you've got the invoices, but, you know, it's much more difficult because those businesses who issued those have already then issued their, or they've got VAT returns as well. So it becomes a lot more difficult to change these things after the event than deal with it at the time and make sure you've got someone looking at the invoices or, you know, as they come in, and making sure that detail is correct before you make the payments. Having the right billing details on is really important. And there are, you know, there are other nuances around Spain and Greece have separate licenses that are required and separate restrictions for charter yachts that you need to comply with as well. So, you know, plan your season, know where you're going to go, and then take advice early in those jurisdictions to make sure you're complying with the way you bring the yacht in and with the licenses that you potentially need.
Well, and I imagine this just takes on a whole, you know, different connotation, especially when you're talking charter yachts. The bigger charter yachts, they're going to be in the Mediterranean, they're going to be in Fort Lauderdale, they're going to be in the Caribbean, and you have to know your stuff if you're going to be applying everything correctly in each jurisdiction that you are, let alone the different rules that are, even if you just stay in the Met, it's kind of a quagmire. And then you start throwing in the US, you start throwing in the different countries in the Caribbean. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. Unless you are literally an accountant, you're going to miss something. I can guarantee you.
You definitely need to have advice around that. And again, if you've got a yacht which is operating in the EU and you're going, you know, potentially has got a VAT commercial state, so it's paid and reclaimed the VAT in the EU, then if you leave, you need to look at where you're leaving from and that you export correctly, because and likewise, if you actually have a yacht which has had VAT paid on it, you can lose your VAT state. You can lose that free circulation status if you don't treat the yacht in the correct manner when you're leaving or coming back in. Likewise on sale, but you do need to take advice, and I'd say again with the EU VAT, there's a lot more sharing of information between jurisdictions. So we've certainly seen investigations opened in one EU state where the information that's being reported from other EU states doesn't make sense with what's been reported in that country, and it's those sort of things that will trigger an investigation. And generally, the VAT departments in any member state aren't one that you want to be investigated by. It can be that becomes a much more expensive process in itself. So,
well, and you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, I would just say hire an accountant, because the last thing is you would probably lose income just by being investigated, because that is such a process. I mean, the paperwork and the people that you would have to hire to work.
Yeah, I think that's where some of the modern technology where you can actually, take a photo on your phone of an invoice or get an invoice into your accounting system digitally, it makes it a lot more practical for you to have an accountant looking at those invoices coming in and making sure that the record keeping is right, rather than waiting till the end of a 3-month period and compiling a stack of paper or scanning a stack of invoices and sending it off to a fiscal agent. It's often by that stage it might be too late. So having a system in place where you're able to check invoices as they come in and before they're paid, you can avoid a lot of questions or problems later on.
Right. Well, Alistair, as usual, you've left me slightly confused, because I've got to say math was like my least favorite subject. I was always the creative type, and I get anxiety every time I talk to you, actually, because it is confusing and it's difficult. Like I am so glad that there's people out there like you that I could just say, here, take it all, deal with it all. As long as I maintain all of my receipts, and all my invoices, I could just hand it off to somebody else that is a professional at what they do. And I can be guaranteed that they're going to take care of it the way it needs to be taken care of. Because I don't know, these people that try to do it themselves, or they get a friend who knows a friend to do it.
Not the way to deal with VAT. And definitely, some of these things, you're dealing with government departments, it can be time consuming. So, planning ahead, looking at your charter season, knowing where you're going to go, making sure you've got then the right registrations in place and that advice up front is critical. Because if you don't, that's where you potentially end up with a large liability. So, definitely plan out, and if you want to go and charter next week in somewhere and you haven't got that paperwork in place, it's not that easy to get at short notice. So always better to be prepared and doing it in advance if you can.
Right. Well, Alistair, again, we're going to make sure to provide all of your information below this interview when it airs. If you have any questions at all, or, you're looking to find someone that can do that type of work, not just taxes, but everything that goes along with, VA, I'm specifically VAT, but with everything that goes along with you, making sure that your finances are looked after.
Yeah, I'd love to have any questions from anyone who's listening. Always good to have some feedback, and if there's any topics people want me to cover, then we can do it in the next couple of shows.
Wonderful. And we're having some guests coming up as well.
Yeah, we are. I'm looking forward to that. It's gonna be quite exciting, starting next week with Kerry from KLT Legal in Guernsey, who's very much involved with the structuring side of things. It'll be really interesting to talk to her about her journey.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that too, because every little bit of information that I can get and every little thing that I can learn, even if it's just a tiny little bit, is good. I have to say thank you to Alistair Milroy, Breaking the Mold Accounting. Thank you.
Thanks for having me here again, and look forward to maybe catching up in Palma later this week.
Yay! Myself as well. Thank you, everyone out there, for tuning in. Of course, we're going to be back exactly the same place right here next week. My name is Rhea. I've been your host. We'll see you again.